Left for church tonight, I got in the car and all of a sudden I got this weird feeling in my stomach. I said, wife, I think I'm supposed to speak tonight. Let's pray that when I get there that that's not right. So anyhow, I thought it was the 27th. I didn't remember, but Pastor did ask me. So here we go, right?
Are you ready?
This could be good.
Notice the word could be.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for the opportunity we have to be here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would give me wisdom from your word, that you would show me exactly, Lord, what it is that you want me to convey that each one of us needs, especially me. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. I was thinking about what I wanted to say on the way. It was hard to pray and close your eyes while you're driving a car. So I kept my eyes open. I was going to do Romans chapter 6. And I don't know if it was Abby said something when we pulled in or something like that. Or she did one of those things. Here, Dad, just do this. Open your Bible, put the finger in. And she was in Judges, and I knew I didn't want to go there. I thought, that's a good idea. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1. I'm going to read the first few verses to you. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I'm going to look at that verse and several other places in the book of Proverbs where it talks about that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And my question to you tonight and to myself, what are you? Are you a fool? Are you a wise person? And the verse says that we have to have the fear of the Lord, and that's the beginning of knowledge. And when we think of knowledge and we think of wisdom, they're not the same thing. Again, forgive me for my dress tonight, too. I don't have a shirt, don't have a tie on, don't have a coat, so totally, totally unprepared. So again, when we look at the fear of the Lord, it says it's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. What is the fear of the Lord? What is it in your life? Is that something where we're afraid of something that's going to happen? Is it something that I'm scared that something's going to take place in my life? No. It's knowing that God sees all that we do. It's living a life that knows that God knows every thought of our heart. He knows what we're going to do. He knows what we do. He sees all that we do. And then living in the fear of the Lord is us living in a way, understanding that in our life and living accordingly that we might please him in all that we do. That's wisdom. And it says the fear of the Lord here is the beginning of knowledge. And we know knowledge does not make wisdom, does it? How many of you work with people or around people that have lots of knowledge, but you say in your mind quietly, that guy's an idiot. Maybe you shouldn't use that word. But we think that, who's that guy think he is? He's always got all the answers, and they're always stupid or always the wrong things. I would much rather have someone working with me that is wise as opposed to someone that has a bunch of knowledge. Because someone that's wise can figure things out, can understand what makes things work, and make decisions based on that. The verse again says to us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of a knowledge. God will give you and I understanding hearts when we live in the fear of the Lord. If you and I walk around and do things each day of our lives with no comprehension that God sees anything that we do or even is concerned about anything we do, that's not living in the fear of the Lord. You and I will not gain knowledge and understanding from that. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, starting in verse number 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. A little bit different than the first verse that we read in chapter 1, but it's like a progression. When you and I live in the fear of the Lord and continue to live like it on a daily basis, things change in our life. This verse here says in verse 10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it's the beginning of knowledge, and it's the beginning of wisdom. And the second half of the verse says, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So as you and I commit our ways each day to God, and we purpose in our hearts to live the way he wants us to live, and do the things that he wants us to do, the Bible says that that's the beginning of wisdom. And when we live in the fear of the Lord, we will attain those things. The verse before that, where it says, give instruction to a wise man, what happens when you give instruction to a wise man? He takes that in. He listens to those things. And the verse says, he will become yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. How are you when someone tries to tell you something? Whether you're at work or whether you're at home with a husband or a wife, when one or the other tells you something that you need to think about or you need to work on, or something you need to be concerned about, how do you respond to that? If you're a wise person, you will gain it, you'll get instruction, and you will be yet wiser. If you're a just person, you will increase in learning. How do you respond to those things? How do you respond when your boss gives you instruction? Maybe you've been there for 20 or 30 years, and you know what to do. But you get a boss that comes up to you, wants to give you a little instruction on how you're doing things. How do you respond to that? See, if you're living in the fear of the Lord, you'll gain instruction. You'll gain wisdom. You'll become yet wiser. But if we don't attain or we don't act and live our life according to the fear of the Lord, that wisdom is a fleeting thing. It won't be present in your life. Because what will prevent wisdom from entering into your heart? What is it? I heard it. Pride. Pride will prevent wisdom from entering into your heart. Pride already says that I know it all. I don't need any more instruction. I don't need any training. And for goodness sake, I don't need someone to tell me what to do when they don't even know what they're doing themselves. But that's not what we should be. We should be the kind of person that is able to accept any kind of reproof and criticism that would help us be more like him. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, starting in verse 29. It says that the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Again, another stepping stone in the fear of the Lord. If we're continually living, knowing that God sees all, knowing that God knows everything about us, that he even knows the thoughts and intents of our heart as we're living, and we live a life knowing that and live according to that, God says in his word that the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. God will continue to use us. He will continue to allow us to grow wiser, and will be what David said in Psalms, is that chapter 119 where he talks about the teacher, that the student is more learned, more wise than the actual teacher. I have greater understanding than all my teachers and all those kind of things. The only way to attain to that is if we're living in the fear of the Lord, because that's the beginning of knowledge, that's the beginning of wisdom. And it says the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. A couple verses before that, which are you like? The ear that heareth the reproof of life, God's word says, he abideth among the wise. What's it mean to hear the reproof of life? Not just to hear someone say that you did wrong, but to hear what someone says to you and take what they said and evaluate your own life and your own actions according to the word of God and what Christ would do in those situations. How often do you think of doing something during the day that is totally different than how you would first initially respond? In other words, do you take the time to think how you should respond or react in any situation? Or because you don't live in the fear of the Lord, things come out of your mouth that later you have to apologize for. You say things that you regret. You do things that you shouldn't have done. And you're forever having to backtrack and to make up for it, gain apology, tell someone you're sorry, and you never really get anywhere. I do that all the time. I act before I should think. No, that didn't sound right, did it? I act before I do what I should do. I don't allow the wisdom of God to enter in my thoughts, and I go in my own accord. When you and I live that we do our own thing as we move about the day and not consult God to gain the wisdom and the instruction he wants to give us, we will be forever in a place where we're always having to ask someone for forgiveness, tell someone we're sorry for what we said, what we did, and do it over and over and over again. But if our life is one of living in the fear of the Lord, we'll be mindful of those things before we say them. God will give us the ability to know what to say when the situation comes about, how to respond even in a volatile situation where people at work or wherever may be yelling and screaming, all of a sudden there's arguing going on. But because you're living in the fear of the Lord, you're going to wait till that's all done, and you're already asking God for instruction of what to say and how to respond in this situation. How do I do that? How do you and I do that? We have to go back to the very beginning in Proverbs chapter 1, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Proverbs became my favorite book of the Bible, I think the second year or so that my wife and I were married. I had just gotten saved prior to us getting married by maybe a year and a half, so my poor wife didn't know what she was getting into. Yeah, that's a no boy, isn't it? But I always like to relate stories to this crazy apartment building that I had, because in the basement I had to fire this furnace four times a day from September through May. And those of you that know about coal furnaces, you don't just go in and throw coal on it, shut the door and leave. You have to make sure that it's building up the fire. You put the coal on right so it's breathing, so it's going to burn for the next 5 or 6 or 7 hours. So I had lots of time every time I was down in that basement. And after a period of time, I don't know who said it to me, it had to be the Lord, why don't you read the book of Proverbs? I don't know why Proverbs come out, but that's what I started doing. So I had an old Bible that I took down there. It wasn't old, because I just got saved. It had to be a new Bible. So I had a chair down there, and I would sit down beside this furnace, and I started reading the book of Proverbs. And as I read through the book of Proverbs, I was amazed at all the things that it said, because how many of you at work have problems at work? Nobody. Okay. How many of you at home have problems at home? Just one or two. Okay. But I was finding out that everything that I was having problems with and every situation that I was involved in, the book of Proverbs had an answer for it. Literally had an answer for it. Not just, well, this might work. That it actually said, this is what you do. This is what happens. It talks about scorners. There's a verse of scripture. I wish I knew where it was because I totally unprepared. But the one where it says, what's the one where people will use it most of the time is see the Bible contradicts itself. What's that one? Answer fool according to his folly. Then it says, answer fool according to his folly, da-da-da-da. And you look at those verses, you think, they don't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. But what makes sense in that is it's talking about types of fools. That's two different types of fools. See, when you and I deal with fools, which are what? The opposite of someone that is wise, someone that goes on their own accord and goes their own way, that's what a fool is. So that means that every time you and I go our own way, we're fools. And there's different levels and different grades of fools. And you have to treat each one differently. If you smite a scorner, what happens to the simple? All of a sudden, they stand up and take notice. So when you're working with a group, and God has really helped me with this at work, because so many of the men that come into the program, we're all simple fools at heart. Every one of us are. But some of the men that come into the program, some are simple fools, some are scorning fools. Some have no problem telling you where to go, what to do, and how to do it.
because they've lived their entire life like that. And when everybody steps back and sees that, everybody's waiting to see how you're going to respond. Oh, what's he going to do about that? How's he going to respond to that? Well, there's certain things that you do with that kind of a fool. And when you do that, the simple fools take notice, and they stand in line. And they kind of heed what's going on. But you don't do that with every type of fool. How do you get that? It's only from God's word. It's only because you're fearing the Lord, because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. And isn't that what you and I need for life? We could have all the money in the world, but if we have not wisdom, what value would that be for us? If we had all the money in the world and we had wisdom, think of how much value that would be to us. Think of how much value that would be to other people. To have any kind of knowledge or understanding or money or in any situation, but to have wisdom alongside that, wow, that's powerful. Because someone that's wise can utilize money in a right way that would do so many things for so many people for the cause of God. A person that has power or has something like that with wisdom along with it, boy, he can do so much good for the cause of Christ, can't he? But without wisdom, all those things are useless. They are of no value because the fool doesn't know how to work with those. But a wise person does. Okay, now where we go? Should we keep going this route? Is that okay? Come on, answer me, somebody. Okay, we'll keep going that direction. All right. How can you tell if you're walking your own way or if you're walking in God's way? When you're at work and situations arise, conflicts happen, or arguments for whatever reason, how can you tell which one is the wise person? Proverbs 13:10 tells us what? Only by pride cometh contention. Will you find a wise person arguing with someone else? Will you find a wise person just letting the words just flow out when there's a situation? What will you see a wise person doing in a situation like that? He won't be spewing all that's in his mind and heart. The foolish man will. Again, it tells us that if we respond like that and we're acting like that, it's an indication that we're not too wise, that we're not living in the fear of the Lord. I would not say things or do things or be at any certain places if I was living in the fear of the Lord. I would not visit, I'm not saying I do visit places, but I would not be in places living by the fear of the Lord because he would know where I am. I would not do certain things if I were living according to the fear of the Lord because God knows all those things. So why do you and I continue to do those things that God would not want us to do? It's because we allow our thoughts to not have God as part of it. If we live as a fear of the Lord, God will be in all our thoughts and all our ways. In the book of John, chapter 2, verses 15, I think we did this Sunday in Sunday school. Did we talk about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Those three things are what, in that verse, it says that they're what? Of the world, all those things. And if you and I are not living according to the fear of the Lord, we will be governed and moved by those three things in all that we do. Whatever things affect our flesh will be governed by those things and will go in that direction. Whatever things affect our eyes, which is what? Lust of the eyes is what? That's greed or covetousness. So if we're living by the lust of the eyes, we'll be affected by all those things. We'll be upset at work when somebody gets a promotion that I thought I should have. We'll be upset that our neighbor has a nice green yard, mine's all full of weeds and crabgrass. We'll be upset if the neighbor gets a new car and I can't afford one, driven by the lust of the eyes. And the last one, the pride of life. What's that? That's just me. Me, me, me for everything. I am me. Me can do all things. I am self-reliant, self-made. I think didn't I share this in Sunday school? There isn't such a thing as a self-made man, is there? See, a self-made man would be considered a fool. Because if he has not had God in his thoughts and living according to the fear of the Lord, He can think he's self-made, but he's not very wise in saying something like that, is it? I wonder how many people in life that have gotten to points in their life where they really think it's because of them that they are where they are and things are happening around and what they do, and then boom, something happens in their life. God allows a tragedy, a problem, a situation, and all of a sudden the person, by a human standpoint, is destroyed. Only because he's not living in the fear of the Lord. What affects you the most? In Romans chapter 8, it says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What kind of things do you end up having the most problems with or conflicts about? Is it the things that bothers your flesh? Are those the things that bother you the most? I didn't get the TV remote control. This is my half hour to watch TV. What kind of things bother you? See, if we're walking in the fear of the Lord, which we're going to have knowledge and wisdom, those things will not bother us. It won't even be a concern. We won't be upset over trifle things. And when you think about those things, are you willing to show the world around you that I'm bothered by a TV remote control? I'm bothered by someone else getting a piece of fruit and I didn't get one. Things that don't matter in life. But when we demonstrate or we live our lives like that, it shows that we are what? Are we living according to the fear of the Lord? No. We're living according to our own lusts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. If we walk in the fear of the Lord, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life won't be part of our makeup. They won't have power over us. That's why I was thinking about using Romans chapter 6. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we live in sin? How should we continue in sin or live any longer in it? God forbid. How are we supposed to live our life, the Christian life, when it says that we're supposed to be dead to sin? What's it mean to be dead to sin? It means to be dead or such a state that sin does not affect me. I had an illustration. I don't remember whether it was a prayer advance or somewhere, but maybe it was a speaker at Keswick one year. It might have been that. He used this illustration to make the point of what it means to live dead to sin. Like having a, he used a, might be a weird illustration, all the bathing suit beauties to walk in front of you as if you're a dead man in a casket. How would the dead man in a casket respond to something like that? There'd be no response. That's living dead to sin. In other words, the sin that surrounds us has absolutely no effect on this person. That it doesn't cause this person to start thinking one way or doing something another way. Living dead to sin. And as you and I live in the fear of the Lord, it will enable us to become, to be able to live dead to those sins that are around us. They won't have the effect over us like they do when we're unbelievers or young Christians. What are the things that you're having problems with today? What things in your life have you allowed to continue that God doesn't want you to continue in? As it says in Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, I'm forgiven. Yes. Yeah, I did it again. Yes. Is that the way God wants us to? How productive can we be for Him if that's what we're doing all the time? God doesn't want us just to get to this point and then get down to this point, get back up to this point, get down here again. What does He want us to do? He wants us to continue to grow, where? In relationship to who He is and to be like Him. So as we live in the fear of the Lord, that's going to enable us to also be dead to sin. They go hand in hand. Wisdom, it's all tied together. If I were to ask you tonight, what would your actual purpose in life be? Would you be able to give me an answer? What's your purpose in life? In the book of Ecclesiastes, what did Solomon say at the end of Ecclesiastes? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is what? The whole duty of man. What's it say in Micah 6:8? Someone help me. I know that verse, but now I can't even think of it. He has shown thee, man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of me. To what? To do justly, to love mercy, and to what? Walk humbly with thy God. Again, all tied together with purpose of life. It all ties around the fear of the Lord. You and I will be able to accomplish anything in the Word of God if you and I live in the fear of the Lord. So many folks, when they talk about the fear of the Lord, talks about the reverential trust and all those things, but what does that really mean? Did you ever think, what's that mean? I don't know what that means. If I'm going to live in the fear of the Lord, I'm going to live in such a way that I need to be careful and cautious of everything that I do because of who God is. Not because he's watching over me with a whip or going to strike me down when I do something wrong, but just that I wouldn't want to do anything wrong because he already knows I am. He even knows what I'm thinking, what I'm going to do before I even do it. So if I can think like that, won't that help prevent me from entering into the sin that I enter into? It should. One of the things that's the best thing to do that I fail to do so many times is to always look at the sin from the perspective of after I did it and how rotten it is, how evil it may look, whatever that may be. I said something wrong, did something wrong. How does it look after I do that? How do you feel when you know that you've sinned? That's pretty bad, isn't it? You feel like a slob. You feel like, man, what kind of person am I? We need to think about that. If we live in the fear of the Lord, we'll think about that before we enter into it. And that will be enough to prevent us from doing those things. At least that's what the fear of the Lord would help us to do if we lived in the fear of the Lord. But we choose to go our own way. I choose to go my own way, do my own thing so many times, and it gets me absolutely nowhere. Does it get you anywhere? Does it really get you ahead or anywhere at work when you go your own way? When that person beside you has done whatever or said whatever, and you're just mad because you feel like you're pulling his load of work. He's doing all the things wrong. He's trying to get out of work, and you're doing yours, and you're mad about it. And your focus is not on God. Your focus is not on the fear of the Lord and what he sees in your heart right at that point in time. Your focus is on what that other person is doing and how you're getting a raw deal. Do you know life is full of raw deals? We were just talking to, had a meeting at 4. Every Wednesday we meet with the guys that are called disciples. They have gone through the program already, and it's a different phase of the program. And also there's another phase after that called internship, and there's a couple guys in that. Well, they're having a rough time. They all live together in this one house. Can you imagine 12 or 14 guys sometimes living together in one house? That'd be tough to do that, even if you're a decent person, wouldn't it? I'd have trouble with that, especially when there's only 1.5 bathrooms in a place. I'd have a real hard time with that. So we're talking about things, and we're allowing them to just talk about what was going on, and it is amazing at the things that they're upset about. Someone left the clothes in the washer. Someone left the dishes in the sink. Someone left stuff on the floor. Are those the same kind of things that bother you, that bother me? One of the biggest things I had a problem with all my life, I don't even think I think about it anymore. My wife can correct me if I say this wrong. With all the shoes that were stacked up at the back door. You know, with 7 people living in a house, and they all have, I don't know how many pairs of shoes, there can be up to 20 dozen shoes at the door at any one time. Used to drive me, I'd come in the door sometimes at night, and I would just kick the shoes. I mean, I just kick them all over the place because I was upset. Why are these shoes all here? When I think about what I did when I was younger, I want to cut my head off sometimes because I never really looked at what I did until after it was all done. And after it's all done, you realize, wow, you were a real idiot, Jim, weren't you? So why don't you and I start living differently and live in the fear of the Lord, and those things will become something that becomes, I can't believe I used to do that. Wow, that was really, and we'll be able to live a life totally different than we do now. If I were to ask you right now, what kind of things bother you the most? Would others laugh at you if you said them out loud? Would they say in their hearts, I can't believe they're upset at something so trivial? If that's the case, why do you waste your time on those things? I've learned the hard way so many years because that was me. It probably still means to an extent in some things. Upset over the trivial that means absolutely nothing. Could it be that God just allows things in your life and my life to continually show us what we're really in need of? We're in need of guidance from Him and need to live in the fear of the Lord. Those things would not bother us so much. Because in Romans it says, they that are after flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Shouldn't we be more bothered by the things that affect the spirit rather than the things that affect the flesh? That's what chapter 8's about the spirit living, the spirit-filled life and living it out. Starts in Romans 6 talking about living sin. And then Romans 7, how do I wage this battle with this sin? And then the last part in chapter 8, living in the spirit. But if you and I are bothered by all the things of the flesh, it's very difficult to live in the spirit. It just doesn't work. In Romans, Romans, should have spoke on Romans. Proverbs chapter 21, it says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Again, I'm looking for verses that are in comparing with the living in the fear of the Lord and the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Everything that you and I do that is opposite of living that way shows us that we're living in sight of our own eyes and doing those things that we think are right rather than doing those things and seeking God's guidance on what He says is right to do. For example, go to Proverbs 22. The first verse says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Drop down to verse 4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Again, another statement of the fear of the Lord. And what do we get this time if we have the fear of the Lord? First off, you and I can't live in the fear of the Lord when there's pride present in our life, can we? Because pride wants me to do my own thing, which it said in chapter 21, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. But if I live according to the fear of the Lord, the Bible says there are riches and honor and life. Are those material riches? Could be. What is honor and what is life? How many of you right now would be able to say that I am content with everything that God has given to me? I am content with my job. I am content with my family. I'm content with my work. I'm content with everything in my life at this present time. How many of you could honestly say that? 100%. That's good. That's good. We all should be there. We should be so content with the state that God has put us in or allowed us to be in right now. Because Paul said that, didn't he? In whatsoever state I am, therewith I am going to be content. Contentment is a choice. It goes along with the fear of the Lord. If I live in the fear of the Lord, I'm going to have this wisdom. Wisdom's going to tell me that God has already given me everything I need. Everything I have right now is everything that I need. Do we live like that? Do we live like that? I wish I had one of those computers up here that you could just pop in, fear the Lord, and it'd show me. I just can't remember exactly where they all are. Okay, so how shall we finish this up tonight? I'm looking for one more. Just give me a second. Oh, here it is. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. It says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. How does that relate in these other verses that talked about the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. I ask the question, are you content? If you and I are living in the fear of the Lord, we will abide satisfied. We'll be content with what God places us in. Whether it's a situation that's difficult or whether it's a situation that's just, well, this is wonderful. A new car just plopped into my driveway. I just got a $100,000 bonus. This is pretty good. Or I just lost my job. My car just got wrecked. But I'm still content. Are you abiding satisfied? says, the fear of the Lord tendeth life, and he that hath it, that is the fear of the Lord, shall abide satisfied. Then it says, he shall not be visited with evil. What does that mean? If I have the fear of the Lord, which tendeth to life, and if I have that, I'll abide satisfied, and I shall not be visited with evil. When evil's all around us. If I'm living in the fear of the Lord, and I do those things that I know would please God in all that I do, and I allow my mouth to stay shut until I'm sure I say the things that God would want me to say, that evil might be all around me, but it's not going to be part of me. When you and I go our own way, we allow that evil to become part of us. It's just like living under authority of someone else. God promises in His Word, when we are under the authority that God places over us, whether it be our parents, our employer, our church, which would be our pastor, our Sunday school, those things, and the government. When I remain under the authority that God places over me, He promises me protection, provision, and direction for life. It says that. It says in Proverbs 21:1. Give me a second. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turneth whithersoever he will. What's that mean? God will give you and I direction that he wants to give us when we remain obedient to the authority that God places over us. And when we do that, we'll get direction from our employer. We'll get direction from our pastor. We get direction from the government. We get direction from our parents. No matter what age you are, you can still get direction from your parents. And that's living in the fear of the Lord, because if I fear the Lord, which is the beginning of instruction, the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom, wouldn't it be wise to do that and follow that, because that's what the Word of God says? But as soon as I step outside of that, what happens? It would be this simple. My boss tells me at work to sweep the floor and then mop it. And I say, I'm not going to sweep that floor and I'm not going to mop it. What's probably going to happen? If he doesn't fire me, something will happen. But he would probably fire me. See how I made that evil part of my life? When I chose to live my own way and not in the fear of the Lord, I did my own thing and evil was part of me. But if I remain where I'm supposed to be and living in the fear of the Lord, that evil is still there, but it's not part of me. How do you live on your work site? How do you live in your home? Do you allow the evil to become a part of you? I find myself too often thinking of things I shouldn't, or daydreaming in directions I shouldn't daydream. And I ask myself, why am I doing that? Why am I allowing myself to do that? It's because I'm not living in the fear of the Lord at that moment. I'm living in no fear of the Lord at that particular moment. And when you and I live in no fear of the Lord, those things are ever present with us. They're going to be right in front of our face all the time. I know there's several more of these. If you know where they are, I would really love you to tell me right now so I wouldn't have to try to search for them. But we won't do that. So let's wrap this up for this evening. If you and I were to commit to one thing in life, and that would be to live in the fear of the Lord, we probably be able to handle and do anything else that comes in our way for the rest of the days of our life. We would be able to go through any situation that happens. We would be able to handle any problem in a way that God would want us to. And if we couldn't handle it, we'd be able to respond and go through it in the way that God would want us to. God said that we're going to have trials and tribulations in life, didn't He? And I often ask myself, how would I act? How would I respond if my wife were to die, if I lost a child? If those things happen, I know what I'd want to say and what I'd want to be and how I would want to respond. I would sure hope that I would be able to do that. Are you as crazy as I am? Do you think of those things? Or am I the only one that thinks? I do think like that. I literally think, what would happen if this took place and how would I act? Literally, and I sit back and I actually watch myself on a movie screen happening and I try to play out what I should do. That sounds really weird, but I do that. Because if you're like me and have lived a life being a, how many have been a Christian for more than 20 years? More than 30 years. Okay, so in the 20 to 30 year range,
How many people have seen your life and viewed your life over those 20 and 30 years that you know? How many people around you are watching you and all that you do? That's the part I think that I don't know if it scares me, that I would be such and respond in such a way that everyone that knows me would all of a sudden be, I can't, but why? Why did he do that? If someone would see that take place, what value did that whole time of life that I lived have in that person's life? Absolutely nothing. It would totally destroy that person of following the Word of God. And that you and I can have effect on that, and that's called living in the fear of the Lord, because it gives us wisdom to know that I can't do that. I can't be like that. So what am I going to do when the legs get shot off? What am I going to do when those things happen? I know in my heart what I want to do and how I should do it. I ask God to give me the ability to be able to do that, because I don't think I can do it in my own power. I cannot go through those things in my own power. It'd be an impossibility. So if you and I are going to live the way God wants us to live, he wants us to live it in the fear of the Lord. Because when you and I live in the fear of the Lord, we attain unto wisdom. And if you and I can attain unto wisdom, we'll have everything we need in this life, no matter what happens to us. Doesn't matter how rich or poor we are, where we live or what we have, or what status or influence we have on anything. If we have the fear of the Lord in life, living according to the wisdom that he gives us, we'll be able to accomplish and do things that we never could dream of. So, what's your purpose in life tonight? Do you need to change your purpose in life? Do you need to change it from living in your own ways and efforts to living the way that God wants you to live, so that we might have influence on other people in this life? Isn't that what God wants us to be able to do, to have influence on others? Because if we're living for ourselves, it's going to be hard to influence anybody, isn't it? So my challenge to you tonight and to myself is, am I really willing to live in the fear of the Lord? Am I really concerned so much about what God sees about me and knows about me? Does it bother me that there's something or something in my life that's not right? Does that even bother me? It should. And that's how we need to live. Not that we just live a defeated life, but that we can say, hey, this is wrong. I need to make a change. God, will you enable me to make this change that I might live the way that you want me to live, and that I might attain unto wisdom, that I might not live that way because of the wisdom that you give me, because I'm living in the fear of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, I hope I didn't confuse anybody tonight. I trust, Lord, that your word is more powerful than anything, because I know it is. I know what it does in people's lives and how lives change because of it. It is extremely powerful. Your word says it is. It says it's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, help us to live in a proper fear of you, knowing that you are almighty, the creator of all, who has the ability to do anything, everything, and all things simultaneously in everybody's life, all at the same time, and accomplish things in all their lives, although all different, it's indescribable to even talk about that. Enable us, Lord, to live the way you would want us to, that our desire of heart might be to attain unto wisdom, and to get to that direction, we have to live in the fear of the Lord, knowing that you know and see everything about us. Our steps will be different at work. They would be different at home. They'd be different with everybody around us, because what others think of us would not matter anymore. Only thinking of what you know about us is the thing that should really matter in our lives. Because if we live the way you want us to, Lord, it doesn't matter what others think. So help us, give us a desire of heart to live with that purpose in mind of living in the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. It gives us honor, riches, and life, and we'll abide satisfied. All those things from just doing one thing, living in the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.